you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
LAist Studios.
Hey, this is Antonia Cerejido, the host of Imperfect Paradise. You're listening to our series, Strippers Union, Part 3, the behind-the-scenes story of the first U.S. strip club to unionize in decades. Last time on Imperfect Paradise, the Star Garden dancers went on strike to become union employees.
Strippers United will never be divided! Strippers
and their campaign got pushback from other strippers.
The employee status thing ain't working. We need to get the most people in the club to work. It goes back to harm reductive solutions.
We also learned that Star Garden management challenged the union vote and then declared bankruptcy.
Buy the club! Buy the club! Buy the club!
Which led the dancers to believe they had a shot at taking over the club.
The dream is walking into a worker-owned strip club knowing that it's only gonna get better.
On this episode, we find out that there was even more at play behind the dancers' unionization.
We didn't want it to look like we had been scheming this the whole time, but we were.
Everybody had a mutual commitment to trying to see if they could make Star Garden's reopening work.
We are aiming the highest of the highest while they're aiming like the lowest of the lowest.
So that was not what I was expecting.
In part 3 of this series, I finally get to go inside the strip club with LAist producer Emma Alabaster, who is reporting this story. And we see for ourselves how the Star Garden dancers' dreams collide with reality. Here's Emma.
In the spring of 2023, the Star Garden strippers were getting ready for their hearing with the National Labor Relations Board. In this hearing, the NLRB would decide if the strippers would get reinstated as employees of Star Garden and if they could unionize. I talked to Star Garden dancer Selena about how she'd been prepping for the hearing.
I had bought outfits too, like at Goodwill, like little old lady cute outfits.
She says their NLRB lawyer advised them on how to dress for success.
You guys need to wear a bra. You guys need to cover your tattoos. Like the judge is like an old man, you know.
Oh, wow. But you were excited for your like courtroom drama moment.
I was so excited. I was like, I hope this camera's there.
The dancers had been preparing for months, emotionally and logistically, everything from their outfits to their testimonies. And I was preparing, too, to finally see Steve and Jenny, the Star Garden managers, go up against the dancers to see the outcome of this entire saga. And then, just a few days before the hearing, we got some huge news. Wicked says Star Garden management's attorney reached out and said they wanted to talk about the dancers' demands. The hearing was off.
We all didn't believe it at first. We were very wary of the switch up. Then when it was like, no, they're serious. After 15 months, they're ready to talk.
They all of a sudden came to us with this idea to have this dinner.
So Star Garden management, dancers Wicked and Reagan, and both sides' lawyers would have dinner. And dinner would turn into negotiations. One whirlwind night, sundown to sunrise, that would change everything.
I know I am, if nothing else, a diplomat. I told myself, peak diplomat, baby. This is what we're walking in with. We are here to smooth rough edges and make this conversation happen. And it was a surreal experience.
We had, like, dinner at this, like, fancy rooftop sushi restaurant.
I was like, wow, dinner with a view.
And their lawyer, like, sat down and was like, okay, like, we're not talking any business. We're just going to enjoy this meal. We're going to break bread.
Small talk. Who's traveled where? who's done what.
And then we're going to get down to business.
They moved from the hotel's rooftop restaurant to the conference room.
We were in the conference room from 9:30 p.m. until like pretty much 9:30 a.m. So we were there for 12 hours negotiating this settlement agreement. And it was crazy. It was like, it could have been a movie. It was just like so tense.
Wicked and Reagan were repping the Star Garden dancers in the meeting, but they stayed in touch with the crew of other dancers by phone.
We would come up with something and be like, I don't know how the other dancers would feel about that. Let's ask, you know, and then we'd like FaceTime them or like send them a message and be like, what do you think about this? Can we give up some back wages if they agree to hire back this many dancers at a time?
They have a business that is shut down and not making any money. We are workers who need work and need money. So it's like we have the same problem and there is a solution to this.
And we're trying to like come up with an agreement where like both sides feel good about it.
The dancers say they were negotiating over things like how much money they'd get from wages they lost while they were on strike.
We asked for them to make some kind of like commitment to like diversity and equity inclusion.
Were there things in that negotiation that you felt like you had to give on?
Money, like it comes down to money. We are not getting the full amount that we're owed. But there is the knowledge that the money that we're not getting back is used to reopen the business. So it was a give and take. I want the club alive and us in it more than I want the rest of the money. I can make that money back.
Finally, after hours and hours of negotiations, well after the sun had come back up, Steve and Jenny and their lawyers agreed that they would dissolve the bankruptcy case, meaning reopen the club and recognize the union. They had reached a settlement.
Steve and Jenny walk back in the room and they like shake our hand. So surreal. And then it's like, okay. And I was like, wait, what? It was crazy.
Steve and Jenny declined to speak to us, but we spoke to Star Garden Management's attorney, Ann Ruda, who was present at this dinner. She didn't disagree with Wicked and Reagan's account of the night.
Everybody had a mutual commitment to trying to see if they could make Star Garden's reopening work. I thought it was a very productive and collaborative conversation. I was very proud of everyone.
Later that week, the National Labor Relations Board opened the stalled union ballots. And with 17 unanimous yes votes, the dancers officially became union strippers.
Wow, we did it. This has been a long time coming. And there's a long, beautiful history behind me. And we are just the next chapter in that story. We are part of the labor movement in the sex industry. And it's only going to get better, I have to believe.
This episode, after so much time spent picketing and fighting, debating, fundraising, and dreaming, the Star Garden strippers win their campaign.
After 15 grueling months of battling their employers, the dancers at Star Garden Topless Dive Bar just voted unanimously to join a union.
This fight to unionize for the exotic dancers at North Hollywood Star Garden Topless Dive Bar began 15 months ago.
Their victory, it makes them the only unionized strip club in the country.
What I want to know is what happens after the victory. Because strippers everywhere are watching to see, is all the stress, labor, and risk of unionizing worth it? And which hopes and dreams remain for what could happen next? This is the conclusion of the Star Garden Dancers story on Imperfect Paradise, Strippers Union, Part 3. I'm Emma Alabaster. I'll be right back after the break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/paradise, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/paradise now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/paradise.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
This is Imperfect Paradise. I'm LA's producer, Emma Alabaster. The more my team talked to current and former strippers, the more we heard stories about attempts to organize at other clubs, in other places or times. One peep show in San Francisco had succeeded in unionizing in the 90s, the Lusty Lady, but they closed in 2013. And then, for a decade, there was no unionized strip club in the country until Star Garden. And I was still trying to understand how exactly they pulled it off, how they knew the right steps to take. Wicked had told me about the incredible community at Star Garden, how they were all looking out for each other. That's part of the story of how this happened. But I know from experience that organizing also takes a lot of strategy and resources. So after the strippers won their unionization campaign, I still felt like I was missing part of the backstory. Until my interview with Reagan took a turn.
There's a story about this that has been instrumental to the campaign. And then there's the story underneath of it, which is like what was really happening. So like, I kind of want to give you that story.
I finally got a fuller picture of how the organizing went down, starting back at the beginning with the safety petition.
The top layer is that we're delivering this petition. And like, at the time, it was important that these steps were like really organic. Things that we were saying at the time, like this could have just been a conversation and like all of these things could have been fixed, which is true. Totally could have happened that way. 100%. It's not true. But just strategy-wise, we didn't want it to look like we had been scheming this the whole time. But we were.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, a few questions. Like, one is...
Here's what I learned about Reagan. This isn't her first time trying to unionize a club. Before the pandemic, Reagan, another Star Garden dancer we heard from last episode who goes by Velveeta, and the attorney from an advocacy group called Strippers United said they'd all been involved in an organizing attempt at another, much more famous club in L.A., Jumbo's Clown Room. Here's Velveeta.
And it was never public, but we spent like 6 months organizing there. And we got pretty far, and we were on the precipice of filing for a union election when the pandemic hit.
Velveeta and Reagan had both been inspired by that one example of a union club, the Lusty Lady in San Francisco.
I had read about the Lusty Lady in school, like as a women gender sexuality studies major. I had visited the Lusty Lady before it closed down. I had like developed friendships with people who worked there. And so it just was like such a seductive idea to continue that legacy.
When Reagan got hired at Star Garden after lockdown, at first she was just excited to dance again.
But I started thinking about the things that were really messed up at this club. I started thinking about how the dancers all had each other's back. And so I told Jordan, we might want to look at Star Garden.
That's Jordan Palmer, the lawyer from the advocacy group Strippers United, who had advised on that first unionizing attempt at Jumbo's. When Reagan was fired, Velveeta messaged the Star Garden Strippers group chat and started the conversation about unionizing. As the Star Garden Strippers organized, each step of the way, they were getting advice from their attorney. We talked to Jordan, the attorney advising them, and she laid out some of the playbook. Their initial petition, asking for safety measures and the rehiring of Reagan and Selena, that was a show of strength and also an organizing action so that management couldn't mass fire everyone. Then, several of the dancers filed unfair labor practice charges with the National Labor Relations Board. And then, the OSHA complaints, where they laid out their problems with safety and security. This allowed the dancers to talk to media about the issues at the club without it being defamation.
We're in contact with Jordan, who's helping us strategize, and all of this is leading towards unionizing.
I appreciate you sharing that layer a lot. I think that sometimes when we tell stories about labor stuff, there's an allure to having the story be like, it was just these people in this place in this moment and it just organically happened.
Yeah.
Of course, that can be part of the truth, that conditions magically aligned to make something possible that wasn't before, that somebody got fed up and decided something needed to change. But in my own experiences of movement work, there's also always seasoned organizers working really hard behind the scenes, often for many years and with many failed campaigns before they win. Here's the thing, though, about the end of the Star Garden Strippers unionization campaign. It's really a beginning. Because once you get a union, you don't magically get better working conditions. What you've won is a seat at the table with your boss, where you can try to bargain for those better conditions. The dancers told me that this win was bittersweet. Because that dream to buy Star Garden and turn it into a worker-owned cooperative, it looks like that won't be happening. Now that the bankruptcy is dissolved, Steve and Jenny will be reopening the club themselves. But the dancers are still dreaming of a brick-and-mortar space that is entirely co-owned and run by strippers. In the meantime, making Star Garden into a union strip club means the dancers gotta work with management to set the terms of their workplace.
This call Hello. Is being recorded.
Hey, it's me, it's Emma.
Hi, Emma.
After the union victory, I call up Selena to find out how that's been going. It seems like the highs of the win have worn off a bit as she's settling into the realities of what's next. You're in the bargaining team for contract negotiations. How is that going? What is that like?
It's like one of the most terrible experiences of my life. We had a bargaining thing yesterday. And it's just so frustrating. We are aiming the highest of the highest while they're aiming like the lowest of the lowest. It's been so dehumanizing.
The dancers tell me Star Garden will be reopening in August 2023 under temporary terms. And negotiations for the more permanent contract will continue. Sometimes that process can take a year or more. But I'm not surprised to hear Selena say it's been tough so far. I was in contract negotiations at my own job, and while I valued the process, I did not enjoy it.
And these strippers are under extra pressure in August of 2023 because in this moment, they're the only unionized strip club in the U.S. So what goes in that contract could set a precedent for other clubs in the future. So the organizing continues. And even when you throw in some themed costumes and pole dancing, the majority of that work isn't sexy. But it can be life-changing. Selena tells me that's true for her, because after taking big risks on the picket line and speaking publicly about her immigration status, her union lawyers are helping her get a Social Security card. Now she'll be able to work without fear of deportation.
I'll be legally working for the first time since, I guess since I was 16. So, yay! I'll officially be a legal working girl.
Selena says it's been a lot of stress on her, picketing for so long outside Star Garden, organizing as an undocumented immigrant and a person of color within a mostly white group of dancers. She tells me there have been some complicated group dynamics with the other Star Garden strippers that eventually required mediation. It sounds really challenging, but also like she's finding a sense of purpose.
I think my power and my place right now is to speak for immigrants and people of color by POC.
How do you reckon with that? This is something that you're clearly really committed to doing, but also it sounds like a lot of the process has been really difficult.
I think I'm going to give a shout out to my therapist in Lexapro for keeping me sane. But aside from that, also, I think the community that was built within the labor movement and how hopeful and happy and cheerful we are and they are, it like rubs off on you.
At college, Selena changed her major from pre-med to labor studies. And although she considered bowing out, she's staying on the bargaining team that's negotiating the new contract at Star Garden.
I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for the next set of dancers. I'm doing this for the next set of dancers, you know? So it's like, if I give up now, then the industry is just going to get worse. That's what I think about all the time. And it's like, let me suffer so that nobody else has to suffer through.
I've been especially interested in Selena's journey with unionization because one of the big critiques we've heard about being a union employee is that it leaves out the most marginalized. And in some ways, Selena is both proving that wrong and right. Now that Star Garden is reopening as a club with employees, Selena says she couldn't get a job there as an undocumented person. But with the help of the union, she's going to get papers, so she'll become an on-the-books employee at the club she worked to unionize. Amidst all the celebrations of Star Garden's union victory, I've still been grappling with the critiques that we heard last episode. Questions about who this campaign really benefits. From dancers like Onyx.
How's everybody doing?
Onyx continues to host monthly Zoom meetings with her group, Artist Revolt.
I feel like I need theme music right now. Da-na-na-na-na-na. Oh, wait, that's not as cool. That's a little bit cool.
Hello.
We dropped in on one of her organization's Zoom meetings to hear about their plans. They're still organizing to repeal AB 5, that 2020 law that we learned about last episode, which made a lot of contractors suddenly get classified as employees.
We are drafting a letter to cholera and other state assembly members, one to ask for a congressional visit, another one, but also two to ask for them to be willing to introduce legislation that is asking for either one, a carve out from AB 5 or eradication of AB 5 altogether.
The Star Garden Strippers union win was a big deal. I heard people in progressive circles cheering it on as a win for labor and unions everywhere, and an especially sexy example of 2023's hot union summer. But I've been wrestling with where Onyx's work fits into this labor narrative, because she's definitely not alone in wanting strippers to go back to being independent contractors. And if a significant number of strippers want that, why are we still so obsessed with the idea of employee dancers at a unionized strip club? I found someone to help me think through these tensions.
I was kind of the lone dancer in the club who thought that was a good idea, that we should sue for employee status and then unionize.
This is Alana Turner. Years ago, she was a stripper in Northern California who tried to organize at her club. So she believed that unionizing was the best option for strippers. Now she's a PhD student writing her dissertation about the debates among strippers over employment status and AB 5, that California gig workers bill that Onyx is organizing to repeal. So as she interviewed dozens of dancers, Alana started to understand why folks like Onyx were calling for a return to independent contractor status. And why, even though these dancers wanted some of the same workplace improvements as the Star Garden dancers, they didn't want to get them through becoming union employees.
Do you feel like doing this research has changed your view of what unionization can accomplish?
Yeah, I think partly listening to dancers has really highlighted for me some of the limits of this labor system, of labor under capitalism, where we can't meet everyone's needs through employment. When I ask about things like healthcare, sometimes I've heard from dancers, well, yeah, I would like to have healthcare, but I don't want it attached to my workplace. You know, and dancers are thinking about an industry that's very youth oriented. So to get everything about their life organized through this workplace that they're already thinking about exiting may not make sense as it would for some jobs where more people see themselves having a future there.
What I hear in that is that there are like larger, more radical shifts that would greatly help sex workers, right? Like decriminalization of sex work overall, like universal health care.
There is something to be said for using the tools that we have right now. And there's also something to be said for envisioning and working towards something that we actually want.
So I guess that's the real limit of union organizing. It works within our country's current model, where so many of the ways we're cared for and protected are tied to our jobs. Alana started her PhD research around the same time that Black-led stripper strikes were growing across the country. She saw that movement as an example of a different organizing model.
This is something that I've seen in Black-led dancer organizing, is that it's not so workplace centered. And like Kat Hollis's organization, they explicitly say they're bridging home and work.
We heard from Kat about their work in Portland with PDX Stripper Strike last episode. But Kat talked to me about this, too, how their organizing has evolved from its early days targeting Portland strip clubs to a new model with their organization, Haymarket Pole Collective. Here's Kat.
Now we are a public health entity for the most part. We're paying out cost of living stipends to transgender and gender expansive sex workers. That's just cash in hand, no questions asked. We just ended a year where we paid 50 Black and Indigenous sex workers to go to therapy. So a lot of the work we do is really radical in that there's very little filter between the wallet and the hand.
So it sounds like a lot of the work now is less focused on the clubs and more focused on the workers.
What we found out is that it's really hard to ask someone to shit where they eat when they don't know where their groceries are coming from. It's really hard for dancers who experience marginalized identities to ask their workplaces to do better when they're the most likely ones to lose their job. So we try to empower them in ways that they know that they could survive a month while they find a new club. And so we needed to start from a place of equity before we could work on safety, before we could work on workplaces. We needed to work on home spaces.
My biggest struggle in reporting the story has been how to follow the journey of these strippers at Star Garden while also making it clear that their campaign isn't the only model that exists. How to really understand these differing approaches to organizing. All the organizers I spoke with want better quality of life for sex workers. For Kat, that now means helping sex workers outside of their workplaces and pushing for radical systemic change. For Onyx, that means harm reduction in the workplace, trying to make sure things don't get worse for marginalized dancers.
And Star Garden Stripper's strategy was picking the established labor organizing path, pursuing a union. None of these strategies are necessarily mutually exclusive, but Alana says unionization is the familiar strategy, which is one of the reasons why progressive movements have fixated on the idea of a union strip club, while other approaches may not have gotten the same attention and support. One advantage of that familiar path is that it can yield more immediate success. Which is why I'm here after all, because Star Garden has reached this milestone, unionizing. And I want to see what that looks like in practice when the club actually reopens as a union strip club. That's after the break on Imperfect Paradise.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAS.com/sweeps.
This is Imperfect Paradise. I'm LA's producer, Emma Alabaster.
Star Garden was dark. They had shut it down. Well, we had shut it down. And we, in an incredible victory for us, for the labor movement, for actors' equity, for all of you who have supported us, we actually dragged them out of bankruptcy. Woo! And the lights are on at Star Garden tonight.
Honestly, I don't really believe Star Garden will reopen until I'm there myself on opening weekend.
Brother firefighters, my friend.
Yeah.
And the strippers on the pole tonight are fighting till the end.
Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine is back on the scene.
Some say the union's down, I ask around, and everybody said this.
And there I am, standing outside the club with the host of the show, Antonia Cerejido, and our team on opening night, taking in the club with its red facade and Grecian statues and worn-out neon sign, when I spot a familiar face.
They're looking. Hi!
Oh, how are you doing?
Good, how are you? I'm so glad to be here.
I know.
And this is Antonia, who's the overall host of Imperfect Paradise.
Hello, Antonia.
Remember, Wicked's been with Star Garden since post-lockdown 2021. And now she's been reveling in the crowd of supporters. News trucks and cameras, Unite Here farm workers, Actors Equity staff, and customers.
They lined up at the door. The longest line stretching all the way down the block of people. And all the strippers out here, we did like the victory line of like high fives running down the line. I'm running down the line being like, yes, 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 thank you, thank you, thank you, yes, thank you. And just all of these people, the line goes on so long. And it's like, it hits me in waves of just like, wow, they're here for us. This is what solidarity looks like. I'm like, that settles nice right here in my tummy.
The club is reopening without a settled contract. Management and dancers are still meeting every other week to figure that out. So Wicked tells us there are a lot of things, like pay and scheduling, that still need to be worked out in bargaining. The strippers aren't doing any lap dances yet. They tell me it's because they're at an impasse with management on how lap dance payment will work. When we talked with Star Garden Management's lawyer, she confirmed these details. The reopening weekend lineup features only white strippers. The dancers tell me that they can't imagine the club hiring new strippers until things are more settled. But for the Star Garden strippers, it's still an enormous victory to have gotten even this far, to have a unionized club. And they say that the issues they listed in their OSHA complaint, like the broken pole and stage, those are now fixed. And they've gotten wins on security, too. As part of their settlement, the dancers told us none of the old security guards have been rehired, and dancers can now go to security directly for intervention. After months of following the story,
I'm so excited to finally see it all for myself.
Should we go inside?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it.
On first try, a security guard tells us the club is at capacity. After 20 minutes of standing around, he tells us we can come in. We can't record in the club, but it's really amazing on opening weekend, after months of talking to strippers about stripping, to actually see them strip. Finally, getting to see Wicked dance on stage, spinning fast around the pole, she makes it look effortless. You can really see how much she loves what she does when she's up there, and how much she loves cheering on the other dancers when she's off stage, too. Reagan, in a tiny blue and white gingham bikini with thigh-high pink patent leather pleasers, working the stage while the pro bono lawyer she's been on this years-long journey with showers her in ones. At one point, a stripper named Charm does this incredible move where she goes all the way up the pole and then flips upside down, her pleasers flat like she's standing on the ceiling. She's wearing a thong that says Union on the front, and she has a smiley face on one butt cheek and a frowny face on the other. She moves each face up and down while she twerks upside down, standing on the ceiling. Around the same time that I'm taking it all in, Reagan posts the video on Instagram from the Star Garden dressing room.
Holy fuck, I just did my first dance on stage in a unionized strip club. I can't tell if anyone really knew like what my first song was, but it was You Fascists Bound to Lose. And then the second song was Unholy. The stage has been christened, I guess. It's so weird. Everything is so weird.
And although I'm having fun, Reagan's right. Everything is also weird. Antonia and I debrief as soon as we walk out of the club.
So, that was not what I was expecting. Wait, you said that it was like, what did it feel like for you?
I felt like I was in a durational performance art piece.
Okay, so I knew that things might feel weird because the dancers and management hadn't yet negotiated the final union contract. But honestly, weird doesn't begin to cover it. First of all, the club was not at capacity when security let us in. We counted 30 customers, which is about half of capacity. And then it felt like there were two warring factions in the club, dancers versus management. Several dancers told us they thought management was trying to pour cold water on their opening night. They told one news outlet that the conditions were meant to, quote, discourage patronage, unquote, and weaken the dancers' position during their contract negotiations. Antonia and I both noticed the prices.
It was a $40 cover. Extremely steep.
That's about four times more than other strip clubs in the area. And before the reopening, they didn't have a cover at all. The dancers told us the alcohol prices had also gone up.
They didn't hire a DJ, so the dancers had to DJ themselves. They only had two dancers on rotation at a time. So there was just like a lot of downtime where there was no one on stage. The lighting was really bright, which did not feel like you were in a strip club. So it felt like it was basically like management and the dancers just trolling each other throughout the night. There was no cash. They wouldn't give any change to throw on the dancers on stage.
Usually at a strip club, you can take a 20 to the bartender and they'll give you a stack of ones that you can tip the dancers with. So I really have to emphasize how unusual it is that Star Garden was going cashless. Dancers said the ATM had even been taken out. Under this interim contract, the dancers told us they'd be getting an hourly minimum wage as employees, and they'd get to keep their tips on stage. But with this current system, management wasn't facilitating that tipping process. We asked Star Garden management about this move, and their lawyer said that it was, quote, a business decision, which is lawful and not retaliatory, end quote. For their part, the dancers seemed ready for things to get tense. Reagan had come prepared with her own stack of singles, and dancers walked around breaking up larger bills for customers.
And then the dancers, in turn, were trolling management back, in part with their song choices.
Yeah.
Let's see. Lilith danced to Union Maid into We Are Family.
I learned tonight that Emma knew all the lyrics to Union Maid because of her sleepaway camp. Do you want to sing a little bit for the audience?
Sure, yeah. There once was a union maid who never was afraid of the goons and the ginks and the company finks and the deputy sheriffs who made the raids.
At one point, while Reagan was on stage, she started a chant. Whose club? And the customer shouted back, our club. Steve, the manager, was working the door, and Jenny was working the bar, neither looking at the stage. The dancers had led that chant on the picket line outside Star Garden. I hadn't expected to hear it coming from the stage inside. And I definitely didn't expect to see pole dancing to these old union songs.
I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you expect this night to be like, and then how did it actually turn out to be?
I think I expected it to be pretty fun and celebratory above all else. I knew that the dancers were not happy with the terms of the contract, but actually there was no subtlety, no secrecy about the deep ambivalence and animosity.
There was deep tension and you could feel it in the room.
Yeah, it definitely feels like we can't tie a neat bow on the story in a way that could be nice and would feel really satisfying for a listener, for me, for the dancers, right? Like, I think that's what they want, too. And instead, it's this very real-life thing where there's still a lot that feels really unsettled and unknown.
Still, when I talked to Wicked outside of Star Garden that reopening weekend, she seemed hopeful that the strippers and management would find a resolution and that the club would become an example to others.
Once we have it set up, like, others will follow. Like, it will be something that, like, people can take up and be like, they did it, we can do it. I really want for my baby strippers, for the 18-year-olds who are just getting started, to have the opportunity to be like, I have a union job. I'm making union benefits. I want to have union clubs across the country so that I can go from one equity union strip club to another equity union strip club.
During the hot labor summer of 2023, the Star Garden strippers brought their portable pole to the Screen Actors Guild and Writers Guild of America picket lines, claiming their spot in the surge of labor struggle. And they supported the dancers at the Magic Tavern Strip Club in Portland, Oregon. Just 2 weeks after Star Garden reopened as a union club, those Portland strippers also voted to unionize with Actors Equity.
Welcome to the Union Stripper family!
Star Garden was no longer the only unionized strip club in the U.S., meaning the dancers got what they wanted. As for Wicked, she got the community and the friends that she hoped for when she first moved to L.A., when she started out as the lone dancer at Star Garden.
Do you feel like, after all you've been through for 17 months, now the club's reopening, was it worth it?
It was always worth it because I freaking adore, I love these people so much. Like, the bonds that I built in the Star Garden, I fight because I want those back and I want to make more. I want to make them better. And I think that is a sentiment that is shared of just like, we did this for ourselves and for each other. And it's nice to think that it could be for everybody else too.
In an ideal world, what would your dream club be like?
I always think of it like pink and fuzzy. Everybody loves each other and everybody's getting paid for a livable wage.
Can you imagine a strip club that strippers got healthcare? the strippers get like childcare credit?
I would work at a place where I can just go and not even talk to anybody and just dance my fucking ass off and just have money dumped on me.
It would be a safe place for us. All of the money that we gain collectively, we can put back into the business for ourselves.
Non-binary dancers, trans dancers, getting male dancers, the LGBTQ plus, to be welcomed at a strip club and get the experience.
It's a safer space. People show out and turn out for the trans girls.
But in my dream world, there's no white supremacy that doesn't exist. So we all work there, no matter what we look like.
It is decriminalization on the way to overthrowing capitalism. Making it rain is awesome. We're going to have to figure out how to make that happen without money. Because the making a money angel, which is like a snow angel, but with cash, tops. Let me tell you, it is amazing.
They have vegan food and gluten-free options. Oh, and it, of course, overlooks the ocean.
Those were the voices of Selena, Wicked, Onyx Black, Daphne, and Kat Hollis. LA's producer Emma Alabaster reported this story. In the fourth and final part of our series, Strippers Union, what happened in the last 6 months at Star Garden? From another strike to continuing contract negotiations.
I've been written up for touching myself, crossing the black line, vaping inside, walking on the floor without my heels on.
Plus, we'll get a sneak peek inside the strippers' co-op, a radical experiment where Joan of Arc, queer vampires, and socialist ideals all collide.
Welcome to our Halloween anniversary show, Out for Blood. Thank you guys so much for supporting us.
And besties Wicked and Danger finally get a chance to dance together.
I almost want to cry, but I'm not going to cry because I'm too G for that.
That's coming up on Imperfect Paradise. Listen to new episodes of the podcast every Wednesday or tune in on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. on LAist 89.3 or LAist.com. This episode of Imperfect Paradise Strippers Union was written and reported by Emma Alabaster, with co-writing and co-reporting by Natalie Chudnovsky. I'm the show's host, Antonia Cerejido. Catherine Mailhouse is the executive producer of the show, and Shayna Naomi Crockmull is our vice president of podcasts. Natalie Chudnovsky is the senior producer. The editor is Audrey Quinn. Production help by James Chow and Marina Peña. Sound design by James Chow and Emma Alabaster. Jens Campbell is our production coordinator. Research help from Ali Bianco, Rebecca Katz, and Marina Peña. Our sensitivity reader is Autumn Harris. Fact-checking by Caitlin Antonios. Mixing by E. Scott Kelly and Donald Paz. Emma's voiceover was recorded by Jonah Rosenberg at Blueberry Farms in Brooklyn, New York. The Imperfect Paradise team also includes Emily Guerin. Special thanks to Laura Ubate, Kyria Traber, and Phoenix So. And thank you to Domino Ray, Dominique Pearson, Michael Leroy, and Susan Elizabeth Shepherd for their insights that shaped our reporting. We read and listened to a lot of different materials to inform ourselves about these issues, and though we couldn't reference them all directly in the show, we are sharing some of them in the show notes. Thank you to Kristen Muller, Megan Garvey, and Tony Marcano. Imperfect Paradise is a production of LAist Studios. This podcast is powered by listeners like you, donating as little as $5 a month. And we can only keep making more episodes like this one with your partnership. Support this show by donating now at laist.com/join. This podcast is powered by listeners like you. Support this show by donating now at laist.com/join. This podcast is supported by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live. LAist Studios operates within the homelands of the Gabrielino Tongva people. We recognize the painful history of displacement, settler colonialism, and erasure of the people, their language, and their sovereignty.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Hey, it's Brian, the host of How to LA, a podcast that is a love letter to Los Angeles.
independent movie theaters are having a glow-up moment.
Vidiots and Eagle Rock, amazing. We have our friends at the American Cinematheque. The Vista just reopened.
In her new series, Revival House, we'll take you inside these spots and share their history. Because movie history is LA history. Listen to Revival House on How to LA wherever you listen to podcasts.